I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it, rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Vary Show is on the air.
Carry in Texas, because now that it's passed, it'll go into effect September 1st. Texas Law Shield is a sponsor of our show, and Texas Law Shield does a lot of things. What they're most known for is that if you're a member of Texas Law Shield and you have to shoot some thug who's breaking in your house, they will provide your legal defense. People often ask me, well, why? We're a castle doctrine state. Why do I need that? You will most likely win your case if it is truly in good faith self-defense, but you could be bankrupted on legal fees in the process. So for a small amount of money, very small, relatively speaking, you're getting what is, in effect, an insurance policy against a legal expense. May not technically be called an insurance policy, but that's how I look at it. There are a lot of things that I do that cost me a little money that, sure, you'd rather not spend a few bucks on Texas Law Shield or anything else, but there are certain things you do just in case. If your car didn't have a spare tire, you'd go buy one. And if you have the space for it, it would be a full-size tire, so you don't look like a thug that's just stolen a car and driving around on the spare, or an idiot. Or a woman. For some reason, women do that. The dude changes the tire for him, and she won't go get a new one. Drives me crazy when I see kids in there. Anyway, so back to the point. You got to be careful with guns. You know that, and I know that. But it's also the case that everything related to a gun, other than when a thug shoots another thug in a gangbanger act of violence, which is the number one reason a gun is discharged, or shoots a store clerk or somebody whose car they're stealing, the media doesn't really seem to care about gun control in those issues. Gun control has to come when people are idiots about how they leave their guns around the house and a child discharges one. You don't need gun control there. You need common sense. Gun control means aiming accurately. But since we have entered the ranks of the permitless carry, and Sheila Jackson Lee says we're going to have folk jumping out the window and coming to rob us. Lady, you've been through your district lately? They don't need permitless carry in the state of Texas to do that in your district. They do it all day. And they didn't have a permit. So I went back and started looking at the history of permitless carry. And the first state, just take a guess. You think of permitless carry or constitutional carry as it came to be known, which is smart branding, by the way. It's very smart messaging. You think about what state you would expect would be the most likely to do that. Now I want you to think of the state that would be least likely to do it. Vermont. Vermont was the first state to begin permitless carry. And in fact, Vermont had permitless carry before we had concealed carry in Texas. Now, the concealed carry movement, and by the way, for all the liberal media in Texas that told us in the mid-90s that there would be blood flowing through the streets when Senator Jerry Patterson got that bill passed, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. In fact, we became safer. Legal gun owners who went through the course, who follow the law because they know the law, those people don't rob people. It is statistically 0%. Now, occasionally some idiot will do it, but it literally almost never happens that a concealed handgun license carrier commits a crime. These are the best of the best. These are the sheepdogs of society. These are the good people. The people committing crime. You hear about gun violence from Democrats? Those people don't have licenses. They steal those guns. They don't own the car they're driving around. They don't own the gun. You can pass all the new laws you want. The laws only apply to the people who follow them. The people who don't follow them, when they're caught committing a crime with that gun, are released again. So the law doesn't stop them. It only stops you. And that's where the public support comes from. But I went back and looked at the history of this, and it's pretty interesting how this movement has continued on. Let me go back to the early stages. 1976 to 1986. In the U.S., the history of modern concealed carry started with Georgia. In 1976, that state's Lieutenant Governor Zell Miller introduced what became the model for later laws. His effort was inspired by an NRA director and former Border Patrolman Ed Topmiller. The heart of the law was that the job of administering the shall-issue permit process was given to a non-law enforcement elected official, the probate court judge. Georgia joined a handful of other states allowing concealed carry, including Vermont, where no license is required, New Hampshire, with a 1923 law, Washington, which made issuance almost mandatory in 1961, and Connecticut, where in 1969 a handgun review board was established to minimize arbitrary denials. The Indiana Sportsman's Council, assisted by the NRA ILA, passed a mandatory issuance law in 1980, then had to sue the state police and other agencies and elected officials into compliance. A trend started with CHL laws passed in Indiana in 1980, Maine and North Dakota in 85, South Dakota in 86. The national media ignored these until 1987, when Marion Hammer tackled Florida. Anti-gun folks were horrified. Obviously, concealed carry would turn Florida into another Dodge City. Blood would flow in the street. Fender benders would turn into firefights. The fight was tough, but the unified sportsmen of Florida succeeded. The dire predictions? Well, a year later, the president of the Police Chiefs Association, who had opposed the bill, was asked if he had kept track of all the problems the law caused. He said, "There aren't any." That opened the way. CHLs swept through Oregon, Pennsylvania, West Virginia in 89, Idaho and Mississippi in 90, Montana in 91, Alaska, Arizona, Tennessee, and Wyoming in 94. Then came 1995, with Arkansas, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Texas, Nevada, Utah, and Virginia. You see how late we were to the game? In 1996, Kentucky, Louisiana, and South Carolina passed CHL laws, and West Virginia passed it again, their state Supreme Court having struck down the first one. Alaska in 98 had to override a governor's veto to remove restrictions from their law. Well, every time this happens, people who've never held a gun or shot a gun and are voted into office by thugs who use them to terrorize law-abiding citizens, they tell us that guns are the problem. Guns aren't the problem. Guns aren't the reason thugs drive through their neighborhood and shoot into houses and kill children and elderly women.
Snowflakes.
Democrats are.
Prepare for a complete meltdown. With more of The Michael Berry Show.
What did the beach say as the tide came in? Long time no see.
That's nothing new.
In 1999, several states were considering concealed carry, including Colorado. And then on April 20th, two students at Columbine High School killed a teacher and 12 students and injured 24 students. Experts predicted the anti-gun backlash would end the spread of concealed carry, and indeed, it did result in a delay, which is interesting, because that wasn't concealed carry, what they did. They were neither eligible for concealed carry. They were too young. Nor was what they were doing concealed carry in guns that in the state would have been lawfully allowed to be permitted to be carried in a concealed fashion. It's also important to understand, and I think a lot of people don't get this, the point of concealed carry is not the gun. People focus on the carry aspect. The point of concealed carry is to be allowed to conceal it. If a gun is visible, you can make decisions based on the knowledge that a person has a gun on their person. In order to secret a gun, which is why you conceal it, you conceal a gun so that other people don't know you have it. The point of concealed carry permits, and this is not made clear to folks, the point of concealed carry permits is not to make it acceptable to carry a gun. It's to make it acceptable to carry a gun that others don't know you have. If everybody's walking around with a gun, and I'm not suggesting that we go Old West, and I don't believe that will happen, and if it did, and there was a problem, we can always address that. But the point isn't the gun itself. The point is that you get to hide it. Because if everybody's walking around with a gun, let me tell you something. When the bad guys walk into a gas station, and there's eight people in line, and two people back near the beer, and one guy over at the chips, and the store clerk behind the counter, Do you think that thug is going to walk in and pull out his gun and rob that store if every one of those people is obviously carrying? Of course not. Of course not. Because one of them's going to turn and blast him. The left believes that you'll have more crime if everybody's carrying. The rest of us know you'll have less. Thugs don't attack people carrying guns that they know are carrying guns. It's as simple as that. It's just that simple. Because they know the result. Unless they have a death wish. In 2002, New Mexico passed the first concealed carry bill since Columbine, only to see it struck down by a judge. Anti-gun forces had added a provision allowing cities to opt out, and an anti-gun judge used this anti-gun provision to invalidate the law, saying that the New Mexico legislature could not cede this authority to cities. The next year, the New Mexico legislature responded by passing concealed carry legislation without the provision. Now, what's interesting is these southwestern states that are majority Democrat also have a lot of people who live out in the mountains, away from the cities. It's not necessarily just rural. They live out in environments where you have mountain lions and bears. These are real threats. So you get people who are tax and spend Democrats, who are guilt-riddled white people who think that the only way to solve the problem is to keep apologizing to black people and putting black people in positions on the basis of their race and giving more welfare to black people. Somehow that makes all of us better, which it doesn't. It hurts black people. But those states, blue as they may be, have a lot of people that live outside of town where they need to be able to defend themselves. That year, 2003, Colorado, Minnesota, and Missouri passed shall-issue laws. The shall-issue laws are just a way to register people who are getting their license. The shall issue means you're not allowed to tell them no. We just require them to fill out the paperwork. Kansas and Nebraska went shall issue 3 years later in 06. Kansas having to override their governor's veto that year. Alaska amended its carry law in 03 to join Vermont by allowing no license concealed carry. So mind you, what the state of Texas just did with permitless carry, Vermont had done decades ago. The state still has a shall issue CHL for purposes of reciprocity and NICS check exemption. By the way, I've had this conversation with a few folks who've been emailing with questions. We're still going to have a concealed carry. We're still going to have concealed carry classes in the state of Texas. But they're going to look very different, as in there are going to be far fewer of them. And the reason for that is you don't need a license to carry as of September 1st in the state of Texas to carry. You don't have to go through the class. So if the only place you're ever going to carry is in the state of Texas, then you're fine without it. However, if you intend to go to other states that have reciprocity but don't have permitless carry, but do have reciprocity with concealed permit, you're still going to want to have your concealed permit license. And so that's why a lot of folks, myself included, are going to keep that license up, because you never know when you're going to need to travel, and you never know when you're going to wish you had that license. I'm looking for the website. Texas Law Shield has created a website with information about what the law says, what the new permitless carry law says. Chad will have that for me in just a minute, and I'll give it to you, and you can go there. But it answers questions. That's the folks I go to with a lot of these questions about these sorts of things. Let me see if this has it here. Oh, no. I'll find it. I'll find that website. Here it is. LegallyCarry.com. LegallyCarry.com. Their goal was to uncomplicate constitutional carry. And by the way, people will often ask in passing, hey, what does that new law say? I mean, can I carry a gun into a church? Can I carry a gun into a school? Can I drive across state lines? Can I carry a gun where they have a 30-06? Can I carry my gun out? Can I carry my gun inside my nose? Can I wear my gun as an earring? Don't make decisions about a gun, violation for which is a felony, on the basis of water cooler chat. Go to LegallyCarry.com. Read about this, and not just what some blogger posted. You never know if that guy's out there and he's a complete nut, but he's got a website where he posts a lot of advice on how you should comply with the law, but he doesn't know what he's talking about. There's usually a good tip-off when you go to the guy's website and everything is in bold and lots of stuff is highlighted. A lot of his lines are highlighted in bold orange lettering, and he uses the word Constitution every fourth word. And that guy will tell you, you can do anything you want, anytime you want, do it over here, this, and we're going to show them that
this is.
No. Wouldn't take that guy's advice.
What's the name you say? Michael Betty.
David and Spring,
Megadiddles,
you're up.
Megadiddles, yes, Michael Berry.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West must be scaring the living crap out of Governor Gravitt, because, I mean, he's wheeling out conservatism like it's just, you know, free Frisbees or something at the damn concert. I mean, it is a trip. I mean, I love some of the stuff that's coming out, but we know why. I'm just hoping it gets passed and he holds these, you know, the left's feet. I mean, these little pinching little children who walk away every time they don't want to follow what they signed up to do. But I don't know if Alan West is going to do it, but I do believe, regardless of cash that Gravitt has on hand, I do believe that Lieutenant Colonel Alan West would defeat Governor Gravitt.
David, somebody posted, I don't know who she is, she posts under the name Snarky T Smuggler, and then her handle is at Sully Bobby, so I don't know her real name. But she posted something similar to what you just said. She said, well, she doesn't come to the same conclusion, but she arrives there by the same route. She says, I'm calling it right now. Texas will reelect Abbott because our society has a five-minute memory, and he's suddenly acting like a good governor because he's staring down a primary. He acted like an authoritarian for a year, but it won't matter. The problem with Gravitt is that in a state that has been red for a very long time, Gravitt has believed that he can take the base for granted, at the last minute lurch to the right and win them back with some dramatic gestures, but in the meantime govern on the left. The middle in Texas is the left. So everything that the base wants him to do, he doesn't do during his four-year terms. And then and this is what he's done his entire career. And then right before an election, he starts into the, I'm sure he'll have a press conference tomorrow saying that we're not going to have men in dresses going into our bathrooms. And the next day he may say that we're going to have the Pledge of Allegiance before class starts every day in Texas, and that's what I'm for. Well, okay, but it almost feels like these are cheap political tricks as the primary approaches to make constitutional conservatives think you're one of them. Where were you during the authoritarian lockdown, acting like Governor Newsom and Andrew Cuomo? You're no Ron DeSantis. I have said this for years, and people are finally realizing it. Greg Abbott is not one of you. Greg Abbott would be a Democrat if this was Massachusetts or Minnesota. Greg Abbott has a driving force that is Greg Abbott's ambition. His entire life is focused on how far he can make it in the political process. The people around him, because they've told me, who are his big money guys, he's already had the conversations. His intention is to get reelected next year and then run for president in 2024. Well, what he thought he would do is he thought during the lockdown that he would burnish his credentials with the New York and L.A. press and D.C. press by governing like a liberal, by engaging in the lockdown. And that's exactly what he did. Well, so your question, I don't know if it was a question or your statement, can Alan West beat Greg Abbott? I don't know. I mean, sure, I know the answer you want to hear is, yeah, absolutely. There are still a lot of Republican primary voters who vote on the basis of low information, but low information from the right. These are people who do not realize the games a guy like Greg Abbott plays. Look, this is why John Cornyn gets reelected. John Cornyn gets reelected every time because he does just enough to just the right people to keep from ever getting a serious challenge. And he sits on a bunch of cash. Nobody raises more cash than Greg Abbott. Nobody. The only one to ever do anything like that was Ted Cruz when he ran for president in 16. And he broke the fundraising record for a Republican primary, I think for any primary, but I know it was for a Republican primary, with $93 million. Grabit raises money. In fact, other elected officials hate Grabit. Hate him. Do you know why? Because when he's in the middle of his four-year term, he raises money a month or two before the November election, the midterm elections. When the money is short, he'll have a fundraiser, and he'll dry up the money for people who need to get reelected to positions to go to the Senate or go to the House. And here comes Grabit raising money right in the middle of all that. Because Grabit is like an only child spoiled brat at his own birthday party. Everything has to be about me. Nobody likes Grabit. I'm telling you. I know that environment. Nobody there likes him. Dan Patrick doesn't like him. Just watch the answers that Dan Patrick gives when he's asked about Grabit. Just watch. And then you'll see Dan Patrick say something like, Governor Grabit and I don't really have a problem. You know why he had to answer that question? Because the night before, all the staffers for Dan Patrick and every other state senator are having drinks talking about how everybody hates Grabit. Hates him. And it's not that they hate him because he's in a wheelchair. It's not that they hate him because he's such a bold leader. They hate him because he's a little backstabbing rat liberal.
The Michael Berry Show. Michael Berry Show.
Judas Priest was formed in Birmingham, England in 1969. 8 years later, just over 2 years before they would revolutionize heavy metal with the album British Steel, Judas Priest would play their first show in America. They'd been around for 8 years, but they hadn't really made anything of themselves in America. So finally they had come across the Atlantic, and they have their first show in Amarillo, Texas, at the Civic Center. They're not ready for the big time just yet. Maybe the boys left the Fat Stockyards in Fort Worth and headed over to see this new band. Or you'd like to think so, right? Judas Priest. Judas by gum Priest playing in Amarillo. We're going to go see them, right? Nobody was there to see them because they were the opening act. Guess who they were the opening act for? Judas Priest's American debut was to open for... Go ahead, Ramon. REO Speedwagon. Imagine the REO Speedwagon crowd showing up to hear Judas Priest. Now, I'm well aware that REO Speedwagon in 1977 was not the sappy love songs that they would go on to be. It was a little more consistent than that song would make it appear. But when I first read that, I had to admit, it did make me chuckle. Judas Priest had just released the album Sin After Sin, but by the end of the tour, they would open two shows for Led Zeppelin. And that would make all the difference. Let's go to Chuck in Missouri City if he's still around. Or Chiruk, as Callum wrote. Is Chuck around?
Hello?
Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, Michael?
Allied Outdoor Solutions has been a show sponsor of ours in our Houston flagship market for almost 20 years now. And it's been fun because they've gone from just a handful of folks to growing and growing and growing, doing beautiful backyard solutions to make your backyard, your front yard, your side yard, your front driveway look like a resort. And over the years, they've added Austin, San Antonio, Dallas. And what the work they do, you can see it for yourself at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or have them come do it for you. 844-846-1010. 844-846-1010. I have a buddy named Ray Bryars, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it, rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE. Yeah, go ahead, bud.
Hey, thank you so much. I just wanted to call, and I'll try to be brief, but, you know, you're talking about, you know, who carries, who should carry, who shouldn't carry, and my daughter just graduated high school. She's off to Texas State in the fall as a theater major. And one of the things that I gave her for her graduation was a J-frame 38 with Hogue grips on it for stability. And I want to say how unbelievably disturbed I am by that act. You know, she grew up on a farm. She's been around weapons all of her life. You know, she knows how to shoot. She knows how to handle a gun. But this is a very sensitive, creative, artistic young lady. And the thought that I have to put a gun in her car to try to do what I can to ensure her safety to and from absolutely sickens me. But it is a statement of the world that we live in today. And, you know, what I want to say to everybody out there, I don't know if you know this or not, but in the state of Texas, as an 18-year-old, you can carry a weapon in your car. Can't get out with it, walk in a store with it, or anything, but you can carry it in your car. A little statistic for you. 700,000 women are abducted across the globe annually. Half of them are children. The recovery rate is less than 1%. So my advice to people is your daughter, your wife, your female, your son, not only arm them, but teach them how to use it. There's a huge difference in the mindset of having a weapon in your hand and having the resolve to actually use that weapon. So take them, spend the money, put them through a tactical shooting course, or whatever you need to do in order to do everything you can to protect them against these mindless, godless, violent thugs that have no regard for human life, including their own. So I don't want to get into a rant, and I know people are thinking, well, this is some kind of right-wing whack job. And it's just
no,
not true.
Chuck, you know? Actually, they're thinking you're some Yankee from New York. Do you know why?
Why? Can't
what
be the accent.
No, it is. What is your daughter going to study at Texas State?
Theater.
See, we say theater in Texas.
Yeah, well, I've also advised
you probably spell it R-E like them fancy Englishmen.
Well, let me tell you, I'm born and bred not just in the South, but in the Deep South. You know, all of us are veterans. My dad spent 25 years in combat.
For years, I've been bragging on the team at Allied Outdoor Solutions in Houston for the beautiful work they do to make your outdoor area, your backyard, look like a resort. Well, their business has just grown and grown organically because they do great work. Your walkways, the area around your pool, your outdoor kitchen, all of that. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. And now, over the years, it's taken 20 years, they're now in Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. 844-846-1010. Call them at 844-846-1010.